Okay. One last question before we start. Did you guys like Sweet Tooth?
Haven't watched it yet. I couldn't
watch after half an episode.
Oh, really? Because I watched the first episode and a half, and I loved it.
Yeah,
I know it's going to be different and not as dark, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it. I thought it was very happy at parts. You know, the kid is cute. The animal kids are cute.
I think it's a me problem.
Oh, okay.
It's just, I watched the first 10 minutes, and it's like, there's a virus killing everyone, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch
I don't
this.
Remember. I have all my comics pulled out because I'm going to reread them again, but but I don't remember the story that great, so I think that's why it's not bugging me as much, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, he did the whole reboot series, too, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I need to experience this again.
Wait, that was a reboot series? I thought it was The Return. Like, more of the story.
Depends how you want to look at that series.
That's too bad.
It's still him retelling the same thing, basically. Whether it's in the future, again, or rebooted, or however you want to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
This show is not for the easily offended, so if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, listeners. Indie Comic Book Noise 477. We had a small hiatus due to technical difficulties. But hopefully we're back.
You're totally super-steving this.
Some people decided that they were going to jinx us by saying, oh, isn't it good that we're back and recording so much? But we're back and hopefully recording so much.
Did I jinx us?
No, I jinxed us, and then I tricked Andrew into another episode, and I'm like, oh, I guess the jinx didn't work.
So, Indie Comic Book Noise with me. And two of our regular hosts. You heard WWX Kev from the Icebox. Say hi, Kev.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
And from the nation's capital, from the fully fortified otter's den, it's the man himself, the Ottawa Otter, Phil. Say hi, Phil.
G'day.
And me, Andrew, the LA Rabbit. Sadly, no Super Steve today. He is off having kung fu adventures.
But he has a life. We do not.
He sends his hugs and kisses to all you loyal listeners. Indie Comic Book Noise is part of the Deliberate Noise Network, a collection of podcasts and lifestyle brands that provide you with everything you need to know about comic books and TV shows and just life itself. So check them out. You can also check out Marvel Noise, which is a sister show talking about Marvel comics and all their wonderful things. We here talk about independent comics. What are those? Well, those are just whatever isn't Marvel or DC currently. You can find old shows at our website, indiecomicbooknoise.com. That's indie with an IE. There, you also will find show notes if Kevin doesn't edit them out.
Where do they buy our t-shirts?
I try and put links and stuff in the show notes. You can also find the show on Twitter. We have individual Twitter handles, but it's more fun to just tweet at the show, and the show usually tweets back, Indie Comic Book N. As you heard from the disclaimer at the beginning, there is strong language sometimes on these episodes, but as I always disclaim our disclaimer, we never say anything controversial. It's just about bad language.
Yeah, and I usually disclaim that with coming up with the craziest, most controversial thing we might say on the episode that may or may not represent our views, like Skybound X. What a Marvel DC thing to do.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
And, yeah, so we're going to just start the show. It's our free-flowing discussion, chatting about whatever we feel like that's in that realm. So, boys.
So.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin.
He's heated.
Assertive.
That was a heated
nature.
Kevin.
I like this.
So, did you know, Andrew, that Spawn Universe number one is officially the biggest new title launch from Image Comics in the 21st century.
I did not. I don't doubt it. I thought maybe one of Kirkman's jobbers that he did, you know, post-Walking Dead might have, and Invincible.
You know what? But that doesn't surprise me, because look how long Spawn's lasted, right? So there's like, even me, I'm reading Spawn again and enjoying it. So he's always had that fan base that followed him, you know, I guess.
Yeah, there's a reason why some of Spawn issues are a lot of money, though, because the print runs were pretty low. I'm just surprised The Walking Dead, like, I looked at, like, a top 10 list of, like, they said, oh, these are our best-selling books. And it's, like, The Walking Dead Deluxe is in there from, like, the last 10 years. And it's, like, but otherwise, The Walking Dead, like, doesn't really come in there. And I'm, like, did it really fall off, like, the sales?
Oh, yeah, it's starting to become forgotten, you know, the shows suck.
I also think that one had a real strong trade contingent.
That's what I'm thinking, too. Like, the trade sales are must be nice.
Well, everyone has it, right?
Like, yeah.
Who doesn't have that collects comic doesn't have The Walking Dead in some form, yeah. You know?
Well, not just, there was like the regular soft covers, there's the hardcover, there's the compendium, there's the absolute or whatever color their versions. Version of that is. Like, they were really, every version sold well, so I feel like it's hard to have one. Although, I'm really surprised number 100 wasn't on the list.
Well, that was a point, I think, where a lot of people have started to drop off, you know?
Yeah. But I thought that
might have been big. And then they kind of got back in again after that, so.
But, yeah, because we got in late, so I have it in, like, multiple. I have trades. I have one of the compendiums.
Yeah, I'm all over the place.
I have some of the big deluxe, you know, so it's funny. And then a few of the floppies, so it's all this weird hodgepodge of a collected version of it. But yeah, I think, you know, my big news is I went to the comic book store. So,
what?
So if I go again next week, maybe I can enjoy this. I don't know if I can get in though. Like, maybe they'll all be sold out and there won't be any on the stands. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you enjoy reading Spawn again though?
I never really I read a handful of like that. Like, I feel that it's going to be told with a modern sensibility. If you tell me this is that Spawn Batman crossover,
it feels more like a superhero comic right now.
Remember that Spawn Batman crossover I covered? If it's like that, then no, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's more like a superhero comic now.
I felt like that was not well executed.
Why are you laughing, Kevin?
I feel like the story was all over the place. And there was very little follow through and huge jumps and like the characters and plot holes and yeah. But if I assume that's because it was told in 1994.
Yeah.
Like now it's 2021.
It's all coked up or something then, wasn't he?
They're going to tell it as a modern sensibility, which I like. And even if I don't, it's like, what's a Image comic cost now? Like $8.99 or whatever?
No. Yeah, I was just going to say the title is usually $2.99. That first issue will not be $2.99. It will not be $3.99
either. The first trades are
always
like $9.99.
Yeah, but if I see that first floppy, I'm going to want to be part of this excitement, the new age of Image and everything. Like, that's pretty. I'm like, I'm hoping I'll see a big line around the block and stuff. It'll just be like 1992 all over again. Yeah. And Rob Liefeld will be having to fight off fans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He'll be filming his Jean commercial.
Yeah. There'll be like statues of Bad Rock and stuff all over the place.
We'll put out one issue comics and never finish them.
I mean, I don't know. Is Bad Rock part of the Spawniverse?
He used to be.
Yeah,
Because Chapel was, if you remember, was involved, right? So.
Yeah, I don't.
So it'll be some deep dives.
Yeah, but which cover are you going to get? You're going to get the J. Scott Campbell cover, or?
I don't know that I'll have any. Like I said, I'm not sure I'm going to get there and there'll be any copies left. Like, I don't know if they're going to limit it to, like, 20 copies per customer or something. I don't know.
You might not want to pay the price, but there'll probably be a copy there.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those issues, though, where they say it's a jumping on point, but it's not really, I don't think.
I can handle it.
Because I feel like it's the middle of the story where I'm at right now.
I've read a few comics, Phil. I'm sure I can figure it out. I figured out that stupid Batman Spawn crossover book. That thing did not seem like it was a good jumping on point in any way.
Yeah, no, the other one is good.
In fact, I would say it was a good jumping off point. And
the other one's good artwork, and I think so it's a little better.
We subjected the poor listeners to our classic Valiant Image big crossover series, Deathmate, so you're going to tell me it's worse than Deathmate, Phil?
No, I at the time I liked them all.
But yeah, I'm excited. The new era. All right, but do you guys want me to talk about a new comic I bought at the comic book store?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Well, tying into our last episode, it's the 80th anniversary of Archie.
Oh, okay, change my mind. Change my mind. Joking. Let's halt this.
So I jumped back in, both feet this time. Phil, I wasn't afraid. Yeah, the character's been around 80 years. I can handle getting caught up to the dense continuity that is Archie Comics.
I could do that too. I used to do it all the time. Nowadays, I just, because my collector mentality, I can't.
So I picked up number one, Everything's Archie. It looks look, I'm not an Archie expert, but I feel
you pick up a lot of Archie.
They're taking advantage and launching a lot of specials and they're maximizing this 80th anniversary thing. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have lots of options, but this one is the Fred Van Lente, Dan Parent, colors by Glenn Whitmore. So like classic Archie, not your Riverdale stuff. Sorry, Phil. The modern stuff.
I'd prefer what you have over the Riverdale stuff. I would never touch the Riverdale stuff.
So it's a nice one shot. It's Archie, you know, doing Archie Andrews things. And in this one, it's all set in our modern time with smartphones and apps and cell phones and all that I enjoy quite much. Plus, so it's a couple of stories. And, you know, Archie, he comes out on top. But what I really enjoyed was in the back, they have a special little story reprinted from Betty number 46 from 1997. Where it's set in 2021.
Oh, yeah.
So they're wearing, you know, futuristic those kind of space outfits that people thought we would wear and everything. But they do a lot of stuff on the computer, so it's very, feels very 2020. You know, it's not Zoom, but it's some kind of televideo she uses. Yeah, so it's Archie. And Dan Parent, I would say, does, Whitmore here does the modern kind of, you know, Stan Goldberg, all that kind of Archie House style. I'd say more Stan Goldberg, Dan DiCarlo. Look, I'm not an Archie guy. It doesn't look like Bob Mantana.
You are an Archie guy.
How about that? So, so I picked it up. Everything Archie, one shot, $3.99 US. Yeah, I don't know how much continuity a regular Archie comic has. I don't even know
That's crazy, though, 80 years.
Print these
What's
things,
even but... a regular Archie comic at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, are they... You know, at one point, all the side characters had books.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think I even have one of the ones you mentioned, Phil, when Archie was a little kid with a big head.
Yeah.
I think in one of those CGC lots, one of those books was that. Okay.
Yeah, I used to like that one, or whenever they were superheroes, that kind of thing, you know? But yeah, the little Archies, I think I liked.
Yeah, I know they're relaunching the superhero line, like the Shield and all the non-Archie straight characters, I want to say.
Yeah, I usually check those out whenever they relaunch.
Yeah.
You quit.
Well, you know, it's nice because they're not going to last very long.
No.
You can just pick up a few issues, enjoy it, and then it'll go off to wherever... None.
But I was always a fan of the Fly, and they had the Fly. Do they still have the Fly?
I believe that's still in there. The Red Circle Heroes. I know the Shield, the Fly. I feel like once a decade.
I love the original Fly stuff, though.
The
ribbon, is it?
They fly that. They boot it up and kind of shoot out a few issues and see what the temperature is in the world for it. And the temperature always seems to be check back later. But yeah, a real paper comic book, boys. Can you hear that? And it's not a Kickstarter, and it's not from eBay. It's not some crusty old 1970s comic book. A brand new
You gotta give me another one since you picked Archie first.
Okay. Alright, do you want... you guys weren't around to advise me, so I made a mistake.
Uh-oh.
Thanks. Uh-oh. I know better than to pick up Aftershock floppies. But some of them have been good. But I did it anyways, because I'm dumb. So I feel like you guys could have, you know, warned me.
No, I would have said, I'm loving Aftershock right now. They're having some great stuff coming
up. No, Aftershock floppies, Phil. Because Aftershock does that whole... So I picked up... Let's talk about Seven Swords, number one.
Okay, I haven't read that one.
So I picked this up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not used to floppies anymore. So I'm reading it. Going along. No ads, no nothing. I hit the staples, the middle of the book. I'm like, whoa, we got a lot of cool stuff left. Three more pages of story. That's it. Then it's a bunch of, like, preview for some dumb comic I'm never going to read. Like, the house ads. Like, put that stuff throughout the book. Nothing. You guys know it drives me crazy. I like the feel of the book. I judge a book as I'm. So when you're reading it, and you're halfway there, you're like, oh, it's the staples. I'm halfway there. No, you're not. You got three more pages, and that's it, son.
No, I get your dislike for that. I don't like that either. Because it's true, you know.
And it was the same with the other one. And I like all the back matter, and I like the house ads and the house and out.
Yeah.
But mix it throughout the story.
It should be mixed, yeah.
It's a way better feel.
Except for previews. Previews need to be at the end.
Yeah. I'm not that really big on previews of other titles, by the way.
I hate them. I never read them because
I'm going to go to the store, and if I want to buy it, I'm going to buy it. Like, I'll flip through it there. I don't need your...
I would hate when DC would put in, like, their 8-page previews, and then it's like, what's the point of buying the first issue if you've already read half of it? You know, you feel like you're wasting your money.
Exactly. Now, if it's something like a cool, like, don't smoke marijuana storyline with Spider-Man or something.
Don't tell me what to do.
Vaseline. It's funny with the Valiant that have the pre-order editions, they chunk all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Yes. Yes, Phil.
It seems like
they put it all in the center. So you're reading the story, you're going on long at a good pace. I mean, you pre-ordered this edition, so you should be expecting this. This isn't a regular edition. But still, you run into that big chunk of 8 pages or whatever in the center that's talking about something you just read or haven't read yet. So the material isn't at the back. But it's like that big, like, flip, 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 I'll read this later. And then you get to the rest of the story. So that's kind of strange, too.
Yeah, I just slip it, like, put it on page 2, and then something else on page 4, and then something, you know, you can, I just prefer that. I guess I'm in the minority, because...
No, I don't think so.
Aftershock does this to all their books, and I forgot how crazy it drives me when I'm reading it, and I got that, like I said, it's about, you're holding the comic book in your hands reading it, and, like, you judge it, and then you get to the end, and you feel like there should be more story, and you're like, no. I mean, it's not, and it makes me feel like there's not enough story, even though I bet you if you reordered this book.
For me, Aftershock is best get reading trades when it's done, you know? Because it's the type of thing you just need the whole story at once.
I think you're right, and I think that's the thing with how they do. I mean, I like the back matter stuff, but I just feel like that I'm judging the story harshly. But Seven Swords is a Three Musketeer. It's Evan Doherty, Ricardo Latina.
Three Musketeers, I'm
Valentina Bianchi. And so he's avenging his brothers. And this one, you know, they've been betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it starts out, he's giving his confession to a priest, and then the priest is a bad guy, so he stabs him through the confessional. And then he takes on a whole bunch of priests and kills like 3 of them, runs through the first 2 and stabs the one behind him, and then scales up the church. And and I enjoy the back matter has a bunch of basically like biographies of the different characters, Serrano and Don Juan and D'Artagnan and all that stuff, so that's fine. And the house ads and some weird preview of a comic, but I liked storytelling is fine. Pacing is fine. The aesthetic sensibility, I feel like the sword stuff is hard, and it's hard to keep the people in a place. Like, you really have to give your characters weight and position, and it has to be consistent over the time. You know, you're reading a fight sequence, you want to make sure your guy is in position. And like I said, it wasn't like I was confused about the story, but there's a scene, a double page spread, where he's taking on a whole bunch of monks and going up a scaffolding with insert panels. And I just felt it was a little, you know, a little not to my liking. I think mm-hmm. that the inserts could have told specific moments on the thing, or I just didn't get how the inserts always fit. And I feel like by placing them differently, it would have told the linear story. And maybe mm-hmm. he's like, well, dummy, I don't care about your need for linear story. I'm going for a impression of the whole battle or something. But I just, like I said, not confusing. It was just a choice where I was like, well, why wouldn't you be like, oh, he disarmed this guy, he kicked this guy, you know, and put it in that order. And I think it's a little bit there, but it just, that sort of thing. With the fight type scenes, I prefer that style. Again, that's me. It's not a failing of the book or anything, but just giving you my aesthetic sensibilities, would have preferred that. I feel like it's hard to do sword fights because they're not natural positions. I don't know. Everyone's...
Are you an expert on sword fighting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I am, Phil. Well, I was thinking more, like, we've all... I mean, even me have thrown a punch or two. You know what I mean? Even when you're a little kid or something.
I've never thrown a punch.
Oh, please, Phil. When you were like five or six...
I swear to God.
You didn't get...
Never been hit.
And someone...
Never gotten a fight.
Oh, please.
I'm too lovable. You guys know that.
You're 6 years old and someone steals your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Raphael. You don't slug the kid a little bit.
I've never had a problem with violence. That's why I hate violence. Because I'm not prepared.
But I just feel like those are images... we've seen a boxing match or something.
Nope, like, I hate boxing.
Sword fighting and axes and all that.
I saw Princess's Bride. I've seen sword fighting.
It seems like the anatomy and positioning and stuff is very difficult. And not that it's bad here, I just feel like, again, mixed with some of the sequential elements, it wasn't completely to my style. That said, if there was a trade of this, I would have no problem buying it. Mm-hmm. And I feel
No, that's the way you got to go, because these are just, they're always miniseries, right? So they're just, it's better as a chunk.
And I feel like the faces are expressive, and I got the story. I just feel maybe the fight sequences, I don't know, but some of the postures and positions.
Aftershock has more Kongs coming out than Valiant. They're doing pretty good, I think, because they have so many new, like, just every month they have new stuff coming out, and I don't know, it's starting to look interesting to me again, a lot of them.
It's nothing that excites me. I don't know. It's just one of those publishers.
I like.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. You've never liked them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I got the color cover one, which I really like. It's got like an orange and red, and it kind of jumps out. Like, yeah. I thought. I don't know. I ended up picking up two of their books, so they must. Yeah. However, they are positioning them to me when I look at the shelf, they kind of jump out, and I end up. I bought two Aftershock books. I haven't been to the store in over a year, so that should tell you.
And then they're positioning in the previous catalog. Terrible.
Yes.
All right, well, one at a time, boys. Kevin, what was that?
When it doesn't help when you look at the previous catalog. Like, they have, like, the way I think their books are, and I don't pick them up because I'm not excited. Like, their previews section is the same, like, boring format. Like, they need, like, a graphic designer or someone to make that pop.
I could see that. I feel like the covers, I don't see previews, but on the shelf in a pile of other books, it, you know, the shop I go to, they have a big table with the new releases, and the last weeks are on kind of a big shelf, and then after that you have to go hunting. So, you know, I just kind of let my eyes glaze over, and if it looks cool, I grab it type of thing, and I feel they do well this way. Phil, you were going to say something?
Oh, I don't remember.
But yeah, so I just had to get my typical old man complaining about that backloading the comic makes it physically not as much fun to read.
I'm so interested in what else you got for your first time back.
Well, the other Aftershock book I picked up was Bunny Mask.
Oh, cool. I haven't read that yet, but I have that. The digital, anyway.
The Paul Tobin, Andrea Mudie, Taylor Esposito book. And it's the same thing there. You get to the middle of the book, and you're like, this had a little bit more. And it's, in fairness to their team, they had, like, maybe six pages. Like, they had... The Seven Swords was the one that really was, like, three pages. This one had more after, so I didn't feel quite the same amount.
Okay.
That's why I use the Seven Swords as that. And their back matter... Although their back matter, I'll be honest, I was less interested in. Mm-hmm. It's a surveillance report and a note of one of the crazy characters. So I feel like, less value. But it's the story of Bunny Mask is this phenomenon. There's a crazy guy who has kidnapped his family and some social workers come. And he kidnaps them and makes them tunnel in these caves. And has all these crazy talk about all these voices and weird... Are you, the stitches and snitches and all these strange, crazy... And then this woman comes out with the bunny mask, which you'll see from any of the covers.
Well, the cover struck me.
Yeah. And that woman, although I don't know if she's a woman or supernatural, she just shows up and ends up freeing them. And then he passes out, and then he wakes up, and he's above ground, and the police and paramedics, and there's no sign of anything. And then he moves on with his life, and years later, he runs into the daughter that was also there. But then at the end, they have a nice little stinger where the cops are investigating the old site, and there are some mystery questions about who died and who survived and who's in the world and what is this? Who is this bunny mask phenomenon person thing? Because it doesn't look like it's a person. It's like a creature, even though it looks like a person. And so they mention at the back that, you know, he's now going to see signs of this bunny mask person. Because the girl grows up as an artist and does art. And yeah, it's just a fun design. If you played the game Bioshock, it's reminiscent those characters they had. There's a everything. It's a futuristic sort of 30s version of the future again. And it's a New Year's Eve party there that goes crazy. So all these people are in masks, and some of them are rabbit-themed, and they go bloodthirsty crazy. So, yeah, Bunny Mask, number one. So I had to get... I like Paul Tobin. He's another one. I feel this one had a good amount of story. I think, Phil, you might be right that maybe just reading this collected... Just because, in this instance, having, like, a police report and, like, a crazy journal entry... isn't the type of back matter that blows my skirt up.
Yeah.
Just because it can add to the world a little bit. The police report I'm more interested in. But, like, crazy people being crazy. And look, he's a smart... They're a smart team. They might have buried stuff in there that by issue 12 or... You're like, oh my gosh, that's in there. But generally, like, crazy kind of babbling characters are not my... Not the jam I prefer, but like I said, maybe there's hints or something, and I'll be like, oh, snap. He left a clue there that I circled back around to type of thing. I don't know. But yeah, Aftershock. They're a comic book company.
They're a comic book company. They are indeed, Andrew.
Whew, that's enough chat.
Well, they made it through the virus, so... Avatar and previews have just been selling trades, old trades. So I think they're done.
It's not the first time that they've either blown out stock or only had trades in there. So we'll see.
All right. I've been doing a lot of chattering. We need to get someone else into the square here.
Your future is yesterday. Your future yesterday.
I feel like that's a quote on the front of the book we should know.
No, it's actually on the back of the book. I got an image book for you. The check cashed.
Then shouldn't it be Black Hammer or Michael DeForge?
I haven't talked about Michael DeForge in a while.
Because you're waiting for your TCAF shipment to come in.
I mean, it's still not here. It was disappointing. I actually got refunded for a thing because it's like...
Oh, no.
I know. It's like, oh, this thing is delayed in printing, so it won't get here in time for when your order is going out. And I'm like, that's too bad.
Yeah.
So, one less thing in my order. But when it gets here, I'll have lots of crazy stuff.
Lots of really indie comics.
Yeah. Not this corporate truly nonsense. Indie. Not these professionally produced, glossy, you know.
Comics that only cost $4 or $5 a piece.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I didn't get any of the, like, $4, $20, 4 pages, $20, type of things. I mean, people love those Aristograph things. Like, that was, I don't know if that was the year of it, but yeah, people really like that format. But anyways, here, this was pretty exciting. Time Before Time, with Shelby, McConville, and Palmer. I just look at this cover. I don't know if it's supposed to be not giving anything away. And I also look at the variant cover, and the variant cover is like more boring than the regular cover. I mean, it's fine, but like, it's like, I guess it's not, like they say in the book, like, oh, this must be the worst timeline, a worst time period type of thing. And I'm like, everyone always thinks they're living through the worst time period, right? Wait. It's like, this has got to be the worst.
Kevin, what's wrong?
It's got to be the worst right now for us.
You said the variant. What's wrong? There's only one? Like, that doesn't seem right. Shouldn't there be?
I think so. I think there is only one. I'm not 100% sure, but I know there wasn't 100.
Well, we know it's not a Dynamite book.
It's kind of a dirty landscape, and then he's walking through the city with buildings in the background. But it's just like a guy stumbling around. You can't, his face is in shadow. He's like all scruffy. And then it looks like he's doing up his shirt or holding on to his jacket coat or something. I'm just like, I'm trying to think of something that, I mean, like, not the most exciting, I would say the back cover is almost more exciting with a strip going down the page, with all, like, numbers on it, like, of different years, and then it shows, like, some futuristic car, potentially, and then like, some people just standing there. Like, that's almost more exciting than the front cover with the guy just stumbling around. So, I don't know, I'm trying to think of... I was just thinking of like, what I would... Like, if I was like, oh, what would be more exciting for me, type of thing. Like, it's not exactly an action-heavy book, so... I don't know, maybe if there was something more abstract. Like all those Hickman Manhattan Project covers were all, like there was nothing exciting or action about them, but all the icons and graphic design elements like really held that together.
It was a whole aesthetic, I feel like. Like he went for that kind of clean, packaged... Even if there was something a little messy on it, it's still the rest of it read kind of clean, straight lines, and
I don't know. Like maybe if I would have just had like I don't, because there's good design stuff inside. Like whenever they change time periods inside, they do this thing where the panel is there, setting up where you are, but also the year in big type is like put over like the image. So I'm like, that's really cool. Like, I don't know, something more exciting like that on the cover would have been great.
Well, you know me, I'm a sucker, as I just said, for like sharp color contrasts, things that kind of jump out when I'm cruising my eye over the books.
This is the other thing. It's a color comic, but when you see the cover, it's only black, white, and yellow. Like, are you going to think it's only maybe three colors, like a Casanova? Or
as long as it's a bright yellow that kind of jumps out. Otherwise, I don't know, I might miss it. Bushalvi's pretty well known. He's probably relying on his name to get more recognition than...
I mean, be like, I don't need to do it. I pre-ordered it based on, like, I'm like, well, sci-fi premise. I'm like, that's cool enough. And I'm like, time travel, I'm like, yeah, I reordered stuff from, like, unrecognizable creators just based on sci-fi premise. So I'm like, that's pretty easy. And then just putting Shelby's name on it, I'm like, I'm there. Like, so, like, obviously they could have put anything on the cover. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, I think I'm that was there.
How it matters to other people.
I remember he had a book out. It didn't jump out at me at the shop. When did it come out? A couple weeks ago? Or is it
like this week? I think issue 2 should be out by now.
Oh, yeah. It would have had to been either this week or last week. And, yeah, it didn't. I mean, if I saw his name on it, I might grab it. But as far as the visual elements you're discussing wouldn't have jumped out in the sea of brightly colored, four-color fantasy type. I don't know. I just like a bright, weird color, weird something going on that's going to jump out at me and be like, at least pull the cover out and look at it or pick the book up. Like, that's half the battle. You get it in my hand, I probably buy half the comics I pick up.
Well, it's even better when you open up with the double page where it just shows a title and then a bunch of, like, circular things going on and then, like, connecting dots and everything. Like, everything about this comic is more exciting than that cover.
Maybe it was kind of like a dare thing. Like, you know, I could have a boring cover and sell better than your cover where you paid somebody, J. Scott Campbell, a fortune to do a exciting cover on it.
I mean, that would have done a disservice. Like, that probably would have brought more attention, but I can't imagine a more misfit type of thing having a J. Scott Campbell cover on this. Like, this is, that would have been so strange. But yeah, there's a lot of time travel with these time travel pods in here where, like, people are escaping, like, the horrible future, but not the future that's in here, because you sort of get some past eras and then, like, the era of your characters and then, like, a future era, which could be worse, who knows. They don't take kindly to smugglers. That's one of the things about the future. But anyways, they're bringing people to, like, different eras and everything. They're like, oh, cool, I get to escape or whatever. I don't want to live in that future. And then, like, you get clients where, like, the kid is just like, well, what's the Wi-Fi password to, like, this hotel room or whatever? And it's it's like, well, it's 1987, so there is no Wi-Fi, kid. Like, no Wi-Fi. So, like, the main characters are, like, doing all these time travel jobs. The thing is, like, if you do a lot of these things, it's like you're getting sick. Like, the shielding and stuff isn't exactly, I guess, 100% perfected. Or if you just do too many, like, you're getting sick, you're throwing up and everything. So, like, the dream is sort of, like, to get out of that job or then, like, steal one of these time travel pods. So you get, like, a lot of visits to a different eras and their scheming and everything. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're gonna totally steal it this night. And then they don't. And then something horrible happens to one of them. And you're like, oh, well, I wonder what went down. And, man, his buddy is like so messed up because it's time travel, right? Like, oh yeah, we got him from the future, we rescued him and everything, but it's like, yeah, I mean, time has went on and your buddy isn't the same as you anymore. So then his suggestion is like, well, why don't I just time travel again and fix everything up? And I'm just thinking of my ongoing bit with, like, Barry on The Flash, where it's like every, like, solution to the problem is like, why don't I just go back into the past? And I'm like, no, Barry, no, don't do it again, don't screw everything up.
They need to have a story where someone does that and it works out perfectly. Like, it never, that fixing it in the past always has, like, the unintended consequences. I want to read the story where, yeah, I fixed it and it worked great.
I think there was that movie, what was it, Frequency? Where, like, everything kind of works out. Like, oh, I saved my father, and it's like, I became the CEO of Apple and all this stuff. And I remember thinking at the time, I'm like, wow, there should have been some negative consequence of that. But it's like every other time travel story ever, something bad happens, right?
Yeah, I mean, that normally it's like, oh, you saved your mom, but you caused World War III or whatever.
Yeah. So the art is pretty nice in this, too. Like, you have, I guess it's Joe Palmer. If I'm not mistaken, I think Shelby was trying to get him some more attention. Because he's pretty good. Like, he's sort of this, like, you can see some, like, British comic influences, like sort of a Paul Griss, Hellboy, Paul Pope thing going on here. Like, you put a bunch of things into a blender, right?
Yeah. I mean, we're all...
That's pretty nice.
Some of our parts added with our own special sauce.
Yeah. And then it looks like in this one, like, club scene, it looks like Cyclops is there. It's just kind of funny. But yeah, that was one of the better image number ones I've read in a while. And like, no surprise, really. Like, it's always good when that comes together.
Yeah, I feel like Image usually, even if it's not to my taste, like, I feel like their books are usually at least quality, you know? Might not be the thing I'm grooving on, but it's well executed, looks good, tells its story. It just sometimes not a story I'm into reading.
Yeah, and I find they put some preview pages out there in the catalog or online, so it's like you can kind of get a feeling for if it's going to be your thing or not.
Yeah, I feel like it's a new world now that I'm back at the comic book store.
It is a new world, Andrew.
Andy buying comics. I bought issue Alter Ego as well, but that's Kirby focus, so it's a lot of Big Two stuff.
Yeah, I heard Super Steve gets down on you when you talk about those guys that started out in the indie trenches and then they have a big career at Marvel, and then he's like, whoa, you can't talk about that guy here. And then we're like, well, I'm like, he did do other stuff.
It's also funny. I'm way behind and didn't catch up or anything, but I did pick up the die number 17. I don't remember where I left off, but it was on. Remember, Kevin, we were talking. That's the Gillen, the D&D one, and all that. And I saw the, and I'm like, man, I'm like a year behind on this book. But we'll start back wherever I left off. I'll forget it. The only one I did dip a little bit is the G.I. Joes, the Larry Hama IDW ones. I bought a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's funny, like every other one or something. I got to go get more. Yeah. But I wasn't going to run down a lot of back issues now. It was more just grabbing some stuff. But I saw them there and I was like, I really like that. Maybe we'll fill that hole up. And maybe I'll get Die. Although it'd probably be better for me just to get the collected editions.
Yeah. We could come back around on that, on Die again.
Yeah, I mean, but I haven't read it yet, but I thought you'd get a kick out of that. I saw it on the stands. I was like, wait, number 17? Oh my god! I think we last talked about it like number 4 or something.
Yeah. Well, I think it's wrapping up soon too. But now, for sure, you can try out your thing where you said you see the issues from a year ago in the bins at the con. When you do go to your first con, see if all the issues are there. You can just clean up on a title like that.
Maybe I will. Certainly the Marvel and DC stuff tends to be in those. I guess DC now is putting out a lot of hot speculator books, so they might be tough to do.
It depends what you consider speculator books, but yeah, you'd probably find some Batmans.
Ugh. I don't need Batman right now. Yeah, I was asking guys, like, oh, what should I pick up? And I'm like, oh, DC, I was reading Titans and a few, and then they're like, oh, that Joker book's good. And I'm like, no, No Joker. I'm taking a break from Joker.
I'm the same way.
I've been out of comics for over a year. He's still, like, the thing they're putting out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Recently, Nightwing became the thing again. The last
I was reading that one
hot.
Before, and I was like, oh, a new one, but it was out of stock, or what? Like, I guess that something happened in it that took off. So it was just funny grab some X-books and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was just fun seeing a bunch of stuff and deciding what to... But you're right, I should wait. Well, I don't know when I'm going to a show, though, but if I ever go to those again... I bet you those 50 cent and dollar will have all those books that I don't know, maybe the stores didn't order that much.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is there going to be like a blip? And they're like, I know there's that 99-2000 for some comic titles where they're like there's a lower print run and those issues have like really rose. Like, are we going to have another blip around here? Like, I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, I don't, all I know is it seems like all comics have, during this last year or so, back issues have really gone through the roof. As I've been on eBay and buying stuff, it's driving me nuts, because as the long-time reader listeners know, I don't really hunt usually for high-end grade. But even just, like, old comics in general and reader shape have gone through the roof, I feel like. I mean, they're still affordable, but compared to 2 years ago when they were dollar books, now suddenly they're $5 books or whatever. And you're like, yeah, or 10. Or, and if there's some stupid minor character in it, forget it. Like, but I get it. Look, hey, that's what the market will bear, right?
It just kind of drives me crazy. Needs to buy that previews catalog for $100.
What is there, a graded one or something? I don't know.
No, it was about. Just they thought they were getting... I assume, I don't know, maybe they're completely happy with their purchase and they don't regret it at all, but like they saw like Miles Morales, his first previews catalog, like he was on the cover. So they got the first appearance, quotes, of Miles in a comic, in a magazine, as an image.
Yeah, I don't know.
As a promotional material.
I think that one might not get as much traction as they would like, but I guess if they can get enough people to buy it or gin up some fake transactions for it. I mean, that's the other thing. I never know how many of these are legit, like, buyers really buying it or just people kind of trading it back and forth to raise up the value.
I always wonder about that, you know, particularly since you know, when I used to do cons, when cons were a thing, I used to, you know, live market, online market, are you selling to fans, collectors, or speculators? Like, you can make money selling to either of those audiences, but if you confuse those audiences, you could really screw yourself over.
I guess cards are going crazy now. I've heard some of them superhero trading cards. I mean, I know the Pokemon and Magic.
But. Yeah, I almost got into cards again, like some of the old series I used to collect as a kid. But
I feel like that, like, I haven't checked it lately, but I feel like that probably peaked, but I still don't know if it went back down to the previous level, because I definitely saw some individual cards going for several dollars, and I just remember trying to blow those cards out before.
Well, just that makes sense to have it graded because it's two-sided and you can see both.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, card grading always made more sense than the slabbing because you can still enjoy it with the
tracking. Yeah, those people that maybe they still hate grading because they're like, oh, I want to put that card in my back pocket, but at least you can see the entire thing.
I don't think, because card grading has been around for a long time. So I think that's just more expected. And the only guy I know that did it said it's equally crooked. Like, he kept submitting the card till he got the grade he wanted. Like, it's the same kind of shenanigans that go on with all collector markets. So I think it benefits.
Don't buy the grade. Buy for the card.
But there's also that new company. Kevin, do you do anything with the graded books or not at all?
I mean, I have a few, but I'm much happier with, like,
Raw.
Selling something, making some money on it, and then someone saying, hey, that graded for 9.6 or whatever, and then I'm like, awesome!
Because there's a new site, I don't know if you heard of MySlab. They're a new seller, online seller. And their thing is the fees are much less than eBay. So if either you or you, Phil, I don't know if you ever buy graded books.
Like, I've never bought any graded books through eBay.
Yeah, the only graded book I have is the awesome one you sent me, Andrew.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to throw that. I don't know how good they are from a buyer perspective, but I know that
eBay... Because for me, I want to open the comics, yeah. So usually that's why I don't.
Because I sold a video game handbook I had for that last Mass Effect game. I don't remember which one it was, but whatever the last... It wasn't Mass Effect 3, but it was Mass Effect and had a name after it.
Yeah, I forget
what it's Fall called. Or something like that. I never even... It was still in the plastic, so I just threw it on eBay. And yeah, their fees have gone up a lot. And I was like, yikes. Mm-hmm. Like, you pay a fee, I think, based on still the shipping and handling. Is that... It just seemed like a lot. And I'm like, yeah, it must be... I know plenty of people make lots of money on eBay, but I feel like as a guy that sells stuff once a year, it's just not worth the hassle.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, but some people that always talk about the live market, it's like they would just, instead of going to eBay, they went to like Instagram and stuff like that rather than, and then just cutting that out. It was easier for them.
I think I do know some people that, but then you're running the risk of having to deal with those kind of hassles and con men. And I just don't, and that's the other thing, is I don't like dealing. I don't like the kind of cynicism and paranoia you need to have if you do that with regular frequency. I like being an innocent, naive, stupid person who can just kind of go along. And, well, I don't need to tell you, Kevin, you can't. You have to be more wary if you're buying and selling for money. Because there are some percentage of people that will take advantage. And I just don't want to have that mindset where I got to be like, is this guy on the level? Like, what's the scam? What's the hook? I just like buying. That's why I buy low grade. Another reason why low grade is like, I doubt anyone's making a fortune if I'm paying them, you know, a couple bucks or whatever. But anyways, we're getting who's got more comics?
I got more video game-ish comics. Maybe I shouldn't call it that, right?
Is this the link you sent around?
Yeah, did you read it?
I didn't go too far, but I read... I don't know how long he's been doing it, so I only got up to... the first 10 pages or 11 or so.
I think it says there's two episodes, and there's probably... I didn't count the pages. I would guess that it's a regular-sized...
Yeah, then I probably made it through half an issue, half an episode.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's not... I wouldn't say it's, like, traditional issues. It seems like it's set up like a digest manga type of thing. Where
tell them what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's Death Transit Tanager by Carl...
Kershaw.
I'm going to mess this up. Andrew Hill.
Carl Kershaw. We've talked about the abominable Charles Christopher before. I think I have a print copy I bought.
I always get confused between Carl Kiesel and those guys.
That was his first, the first webcomic I knew him from that got collected. So he's one of those guys that puts it out on the web and then sells print, which is my jam. If I like it, I want it in print. I know Phil feels that way, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's just funny. Like, we've come around the video games, like, repeatedly, and then I'm like, I want a Metroid comic, and then it's funny that this is, I wouldn't say it's exactly, but the costume is close enough, or the armor.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
They're in space.
Metroid meets...
In a ship.
Meets Mach 1 or whatever.
I mean, it's funny.
Oh, I guess I pretty much finished the first one.
Yeah, I'm just flipping through it now. I didn't realize you put in a link, but yeah, I like the art. I would buy that imprint.
Yeah, like if this is one of those things, like if I was like at TCAF and like I see that like the cover or one of these logo or something, I know who the creator is, and then you take a look through the first few pages, like I'm definitely buying this.
Yeah, what's fascinating to me is it turned out being like different in style. The Abominable Charles Christopher is more kind of like a cutesy animal sort of thing, and this is your like organic space. I mean, the tech is kind of not as cold, like you say, it's more kind of curvy and a little more organic style, but like yeah. Uses lots of tone.
I knew you were gonna like print. That.
Yeah, but I just think that like it's not. If you thought if you saw Abominable Charles Christopher, this doesn't look exactly like that. You know, it's not like he just put those characters in a space setting.
Yeah, I thought it was very nice, and then you get some. You get some battles here with some, it's funny because I saw like the headline thing on Newsarama where it said Hellboy, and then as soon as we get to the worm, I'm like, Conqueror Worm?
I thought in your email you were actually talking about like a webcomic where Metroid character meets Hellboy.
I mean, that would be interesting.
I didn't expect this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small little type of story. Like, it's exciting enough.
Yeah, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Besides, yeah. It's the right price. It's free. You can try it out, and if you like it...
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah,
yeah, I'm sure. I mean, maybe he won't end up collecting it, but I know, like I said, the Abominable Charles Christopher, he collected into... At least some of it was in print, because I have the first book.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, maybe he can follow the Ed Piskor Red Room model.
Yeah.
that's the future of comics right now. That's the model to follow, right?
Well, why not? I saw copies of number one in my store, so... I mean, my guy buys a fair number of indie books, but it's no guarantee, so... Hey, he got in, got into a lot of stores.
And well, what was really I watching? I feel like I was watching Star Trek. It was a Vulcan thing where there was some kind of philosophy. It was like infinite possibilities, like unlimited diversity or something. And I kind of feel like with that with comics. Like someone will say, oh, comics should all be miniseries. This is the future, right? This is the future we deserve. And I'm like, no, the future we deserve is like every format.
Well, hey, there's nothing wrong with getting your name and face out there to people. Because comics take a long time to make, let's be honest. So if you can, and then like Piskor's case, have a YouTube channel or Instagram or whatever else you do that gets your... Like these, or Carl's doing, we're putting up one page at a time or whatever. I think that helps remind people and get new fans and all that. You know, it's not a bad model. And Patreons, I haven't dipped my toes in yet. I'm sure it's a matter of time I'll leave Kickstarter and move over to Patreon, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like we should make that move. I keep on thinking about doing some stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm lazy to sign up for another thing.
Yeah, I just feel like I'm already conversant in Kickstarter. And look, I've been ripped off, but had things fail and money taken and no product or all that sort of stuff. So I'm kind of used to the risks associated. I love how they always have that big risks associated with Kickstarter section. Yeah. I've had that risk get realized. So. All right. Has anyone got anything else, or are we going to put a bow on this issue?
That's probably a pretty good size, or yeah. You have something, Kevin?
You guys just want to cut off the Valiant coverage. I can save it for next
time. Yeah, let's save it for now. Hopefully, dear listeners, we're back on our regular schedule. By regular, I mean...
Weekly?
No.
Yeah. If it doesn't happen, tweet the show or tweet Andrew.
Not once a month, but... maybe Kevin will get around to posting an episode that's in his hot little hands so Ooh. You can also bother him too. But Kevin, it's catchphrase time.
Mega City 1 needs that vaccine.
We do. Phil, you got any last words for the listeners?
Nope.
All right, everybody, take care of yourself. Stay safe.
Everything's Archie. Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica, too. Reggie's here. Hey, Jughead, where are you? We want to dance and we want to sing. Have some fun and go adventuring. All our friends are here, but it ain't complete. We ain't the Archies without the Jughead beat. Whoa, Archie's here. Betty's here, Veronica too.